Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to the Catholic Command Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. Dave, it's good to hang out with you for a little bit. It's been a little while, I feel like, since I've been able to hang out with you.
We've done things.
We've been very busy.
You went on a retreat.
I went on a retreat this weekend, yes. The Axe Retreat.
How was it?
You know, it's interesting because we have a lot of things going on the Catholic Man Show that we're, trying to get done that's top secret. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. I don't think anybody told me, but that's okay.
Yeah. Not important.
It's need to know.
Yeah, need to know basis. We have a lot of things going on with the Catholic Man Show. We have a lot of things going on in our family and work, and sometimes it's nice to just have that moment of silence.
Yeah, man.
One of the coolest parts of Acts was this quote that I heard. I want to get your take on it.
Okay.
It said, worry is a mild form of atheism. And that hit me kind of in the mouth. I wasn't ready for it.
You're kind of a worrier.
Because I worry a lot.
Mm-hmm. You're not like the biggest worrier. I feel like you've really gotten a lot better.
Maybe.
Having to deal with my laissez-faire.
Laissez-faire.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Not French.
World War II back-to-back champs.
It's like kind of made you have to get a lot of practice. And
I do. I get a lot of practice.
Because you're like a planner, and I'm like let's just worry about it when it happens. Yeah, I'll plan some things, but very few.
Yes, and I like to at least know what we're doing as far as let's make sure that our equipment works before we have guests on. Things like that.
But who's the one who actually makes it work?
You.
Yeah. Which is why you worry about it.
Yeah,
so much
I know. Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. But no, at the Axe Retreat, it was good. Anytime you can turn off your phone for a few days and just have
totally
adoration at night throughout the night is
just
good.
Just that alone of having the phone off. Mm. I finished Cardinal Sarah. However you say, I've heard. I don't know how to say it. Whatever.
Yeah.
I finished his book on silence. So we're going to do an episode on that.
Good.
Next time it's my topic, which I guess will be next week.
I think so.
Who knows? That's what I wanted to talk about is silence, the importance of silence. So anyway, I went to my wife's grandparents' 60th wedding anniversary party this weekend.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
60th.
Awesome. Maurice and Melva.
Yeah.
60 years wedded.
That is awesome.
It was awesome.
In Wichita, correct?
And it was in Hutchinson, Kansas.
Oh, Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is close to. It's not that far from Wichita.
Yeah. So, we just got back. Both of us got back late last night. Or you got back today, didn't you? I got back last night.
I just got back hours ago.
So, we're winging it tonight. Not that that's different to probably any other night, but...
Nah.
If this is your first time listening to the episode, we do a Trinitarian form of the show. We do three things every episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. This week, we have a beverage cam. We decided to get a beverage cam going. So jump on over to YouTube and check that out. But we open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight a man gear is the second thing that we do. And then we have a manly discussion for all Catholic men out there. Today's drink is Innocent Gun 01 Vanishing Point. It is a barrel-aged for 200 days Imperial Stout.
I just switched to the camera.
And oh, sorry. And then I picked it up. I'm sorry. Hey, we're still figuring this out. You got to give me a break. Yes, I'm sorry. Innocent Gun 01 Vanishing Point. It's aged for 200 days.
200 days.
Imperial Stout. 11% alcohol. We have a pint of it. Let's see. Does his back say anything on here? Actually, before we, let's just pour it. Let's do that. I think that's a good idea. The box, it comes in a box that, if you're not watching on YouTube, it's a thick cardboard box. It's a nice presentation. Overall, don't you think it's a good presentation?
I do. I like it when it's. I don't know why.
Presentations.
I know it costs more, but I still like it.
Yeah. Let's see. This is the first of their series, and they fill it with bourbon barrels for 6 months. The result is a big, rich, bursting with flavor, massive aromas of fresh coffee grounds, dark chocolate, gorse, and vanilla. I don't know what gorse is. Do you know what gorse is?
No, I don't.
Okay. The taste is silky, smooth, oaky, chocolatey, with a nice palate fullness from the oak, finishing with warm and full of vanilla. So that's what they're
tasting notes.
I'm
so excited about this. When I saw it,
I am too.
In the liquor store, I've had this on my counter
for a while,
for a long time,
a while,
yeah.
And I actually,
it's been hard not.
This
to
may not
it.
Be a popular opinion, which is okay. We've had a lot of unpopular opinions recently.
Mm-hmm.
Innocent Gun, I am I'm a bigger fan of Innocent Gun than Guinness.
Oh, me too, by a long shot.
But caveat, I haven't had the Guinness from Ireland, from the tap.
Yeah,
you know,
they say
that's
important.
That's important, but I don't know. So anyway, let's try it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I want to smell it. It smells, you can, you know, stouts that have that nice particular smell. I think it's maybe because they're higher in alcohol. You can smell the alcohol on them.
Mm-hmm. It has a on the palate, it does have an alcohol taste, but at the end it's very smooth. But in the mouth, it has that kind of stringent alcohol taste. Obviously, it's 11% alcohol, so that's not too surprising. But overall, it's a very smooth taste. How would you rate this over we've had the barrel aged Innocent Gun before?
Know. That's a good question. It's really not as it's not as the whiskey isn't as strong as I thought it would be, you know?
No.
I kind of expected more of a whiskey flavor.
Well, yeah, with it being in there for 200 days.
For 200 days. And we are drinking this right at the very end of its recommended shelf life.
Right. So that could possibly
we should have probably had it a little fresher, but it just didn't work out.
You're supposed to serve it at between 37 and 43 degrees.
Which I think the temperature is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has a really nice head.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people, you know, they tilt their glass on a very edge and they try to pour a beer so it doesn't foam at all. You know, they think that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you're supposed to do. You want to actually create a nice foam because the head of the beer helps preserve the aroma of the beer as you continue to drink it.
And this one
pours really nice.
And it releases the fizz.
Carbonation.
Carbonation, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The carbonation. So that way, a lot of times if you drink beers and you're like, man, after that second beer or something, mm-hmm. I have that upset stomach. My stomach is full. And it's because all that carbonation, all that air is in your...
Yeah.
In your stomach. So you release that carbonation by creating that head.
I agree. Yeah. It's delicious beer. I'm being critical of it a little bit just because my expectations were very, 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 very high.
Well, but and it's not
it
cheap.
It's not a cheap beer. How much is the price tag on there?
No, but I think it's like $13, $14
for
a pint.
It is.
$13, $14 for a pint. So, I mean, if you're paying $13, $14, your expectations are high.
Yeah.
Great beer. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I would not pay.
I wouldn't. It's not worth it.
I would not pay.
You're right. Great beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that their, like you said, their other stout,
I'm really excited about trying the Marshall's beer that Father Brian Ketterer gave us.
Yes.
There's a local brewery here run by Catholics called Marshall's.
Mm-hmm. And one of the oldest breweries in Tulsa.
Yes.
They were kind of like, were they the first?
They may have been.
If they're not the first, I don't know when Dead Armadillo started here in Tulsa.
I think it was after Marshall's.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, they brewed a stout.
A beer with
a stout, right?
I think it's a stout or a dark ale. I can't remember, but it's a beer aged in Lafroy barrels.
It's like they read our mind.
It's like they know us or something.
And asked us, what kind of beer would you flip out about the most?
And then they brewed it.
And they brewed it without us knowing about it.
Right. So Father Ketterer found it, picked it up for us. It's their 10-year anniversary beer, I think.
It should be. I think it should be legally required that all beer is aged in Lafroy barrels. I mean, that's just one man's opinion.
Yes, that is one man's. I enjoy it, though. I enjoy having
this beer,
a nice...
You're talking about, yeah, no, talking about this
beer.
One,
yeah, I enjoy this beer. It is nice. I think it'll grow on me as the episode
it
continues.
Is, you know what? The flavors are actually very well balanced as of having more sips of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too strong in any one direction. It does have a nice... There is... I am picking up more of the wood, kind of a warmer mm-hmm. wood flavor to it. It is nice. I wouldn't. I still wouldn't pay
$14, $13,
whatever it is. Yeah,
for it. But it's still a very good beer.
If it was $8, I might get it again.
Yeah. As always, we promote moderation here on the Catholic Man Show. Having alcohol is a good thing if used properly. So we're going to be sipping on this beer throughout the show. We're going to jump into the man gear on. When we get back, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan in studio on YouTube. Maybe, are we going to put these videos anywhere else?
Maybe Vimeo.
Definitely YouTube. Vimeo?
Yeah.
I say Vimeo.
Okay.
Vimeo. I say Vimeo. I don't know. Who says Vimeo? What a dork.
Whatever the correct pronunciation is what I say.
Yeah. Okay, well. Good for you.
Yeah. Sitting here enjoying a Innocent Gun 01 Vanishing Point Imperial Stout. A stout that's been aged for 200 days in a whiskey barrel. This is the segment where we jump into the man gear. This is going to be a little bit different of a segment because...
I have no idea what it is. Right. You're just telling me.
Right. It is actually going to be man gears.
Okay,
plural.
It's a list of things.
It's a list of things.
And I'm going to approve or disapprove.
Right.
Approve or reject, maybe.
Yeah, approve.
Each item on the list.
Sure. And okay. You've not seen this list.
I have not.
You didn't even know this was going to be the man gear as of 3-4 minutes
ago. In fact, this is a good example of like the way we function. I didn't even ask you what it was ahead of the show.
You can find that out on YouTube.
I assumed you had one, and it's like, yeah, we're going to talk about it.
We don't edit our video either, so...
My opinion is that I don't need to do research on the man gear. I am a man.
I use gear.
And I have stuff that I use, and so it's
I can talk about anything for at least 10 minutes.
If you want to know what I think about the stuff that I have, like, I'll tell you.
Okay, so our topic today is going to be... how to sanctify your drive home from work.
Good topic. Someone suggested this to us.
No. Well, I suggested it. And then on our show.
Oh, I thought someone sent us a message suggesting.
No. I asked you
okay.
about it on air in a previous episode.
Then they sent us a message saying
I
that
approve.
They want. Yes. Okay.
So our episode today is going to be how to sanctify your drive home from work or to work. Your commute. How to sanctify your commute to and from work.
Okay. Okay.
And so the gears is going to be things that you need in your car. So
okay.
We're talking about the commute, things that you need in your car. I got this list from lifehacker.com. Okay. I like that website. Have you ever looked at that website before?
I don't know. Maybe.
Lifehacker.com is a good website.
Okay.
So I'm going to start listing things off, and you just, whatever comes into your mind.
Yeah, I'm going to say it in the microphone.
Yes.
Okay.
So just kind of like everything we do here.
Right.
Okay. Spare tire.
Yes.
Jumper cables.
Yes.
Your car's manual.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Let me tell you. I needed that. My first car, a 1990 Toyota Camry. The one that has the seatbelt that goes up and down every time you open the car door.
Oh, yeah. Electric seatbelts. Automatic seatbelts.
Yeah. You remember that?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, things stopped working. And I was like, what happened there? Car fuse. But I had to figure out which car fuse. You know, like, I needed the car manual to figure that out on the side of the highway.
Yeah, but now that you have the internet.
Yeah, but what if you're stranded, like, and you don't have a good cell phone
reception? That's why I said yes in the end. I thought about it.
Tire pressure gauge.
Totally.
First aid kit.
Yes.
Have you ever used a first aid kit?
Yeah. I have a sweet first aid kit.
No, first aid kit in your car. Like, your car.
No, I think you should have a first aid kit in your car, and yes, I have one.
Have you used it for that purpose? That was my question.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Flashlight?
Yes.
Dude, flashlights are so sweet.
I know. LEDs.
LED, yeah. Mm. Especially if you want to... Never mind. I'm not going to say that. Not on air. Multi-tool?
Yeah.
Matches or other fire starters, a.k.a. flamethrowers?
I don't know if that... Is the question, is this something I think you must have or...
You need.
I don't know. I'm not sure that I think you really need matches in your car.
Energy bars.
No.
You're not going to like... You do not. I mean, I guess if you're like John Coe, who's up in Alaska, and he like gets...
Yeah, I mean...
Winter storm blows in and...
If you've got
stranded,
maybe if you've got the diabetes, maybe you need an energy bar. Okay.
Water bottles.
No.
Weather radio.
No.
Seatbelt cutter and window breaker.
Maybe. I think it depends on the terrain where you live.
Flares.
No.
Paper maps.
No.
Ice scraper.
Yes.
Unless
you live in Texas.
Right. A space blanket.
No.
To keep you warm.
No.
I can't believe that was on here. Cardboard
wait.
Or carpet remnant.
The blanket. Remnant. If you live in the north, maybe you need a blanket.
During a blizzard.
Yeah, like something can happen. Sorry, I missed
cardboard
this.
Or carpet remnant.
Cardboard?
To place under your tires for traction in the snow.
Oh. I don't know. In Oklahoma, you don't need that.
No, because you just grab a 2x4 or something like that, and you can figure that out.
Yeah.
Paper towels or hand towels?
No.
Well, if you have kids? Dude, I have paper towels in my cars.
I think you need them. Maybe it's a good idea. But, like, where are you going to... Paper towels, it takes up a lot of space. Paper towel.
Napkins, then.
Napkins, I have. Paper towels is different. I have napkins.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Okay. Umbrella.
Yes.
How often do you use an umbrella?
I used mine today. I was in a torrential downpour.
And yes, you're following the storm.
Literally, today, I drove through the worst driving conditions of my life. I was on the highway, and it got to about... 15 feet visibility. Like I couldn't see the car that I knew was right in front of me. And because we were already going like 30 miles an hour, we got down to 20 miles an hour. And it only lasted maybe 20 seconds of that heavy. But anyway, yeah, so I had to escort. I used two umbrellas today. Escort grandma in the rain up to her car. So I need.
Nice.
I have the big umbrella. The, mm-hmm. You know,
the golf umbrellas. Yeah. Golf clubs.
Yes, I do have my golf clubs in my car, and you must have them.
That wasn't on the list, but that's something that
I needed to add that to the list. Uh-huh.
Spare change, emergency money.
Yes.
Yes, dude. Okay, so when I switched my cars, when I went from my little Honda Accord to my Ford F-150, I had to change pike passes. Uh-huh. And for a little while, the pike passes were not... activated yet. So I had to go through like the old school toll booth, like, you know, not the Pike Pass. And I realized how much money I was needing to use. I was like, dang it. I don't have this money. Like, I had to go and call.
The Pike Pass is like the credit card. You have no idea how much money you spend.
Right.
Have you ever tried to only spend cash for a while? I used to do that.
Well, I did that not college. On purpose. But
I used to do it in college for a while just so that I knew how much money I was actually spending.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got paid. I was a waiter, so I got paid cash, you know. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
A change of clothes, emergency item, because if you get drenched in rain or snow, it's no good to sit around in wet clothes.
No.
I don't either. USB mobile device charger.
I think that's a good idea. I don't have one.
You don't have a phone charger in your car?
No.
Wow.
I used to. My phone, actually, this happened at the campout last year. My charger was wet, and I was trying to get home from Clear Creek, which I did not really know how to do without the GPS.
Right.
And so my phone was dead, and I was trying to charge it. And it kept giving me this warning about the charger cable being wet, and I kept ignoring it. And now it won't charge with the cable. So if you look at the USB, like, little piano-looking board in there, it's totally black.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well done. Way to ignore the warning signs.
But I did make it home.
Scott Hahn CDs.
No.
But no?
You should have MP3s ready to go on your phone.
Yeah, Bluetooth capabilities.
Yeah, yeah. My wife and I bought a van. Doesn't have a CD player.
It didn't even have a CD player?
Mm-mm. Dude, new cars.
Wow.
New cars don't have CD players anymore.
Wow.
But you know what I did? I took all of our CDs and put them on a USB drive, a thumb drive, and now it's even better. Because you don't have to change out CDs. You can look at, each CD became a folder. You can just touch, and the folder will just play.
Nice. Sunglasses.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Especially if you have blue eyes. If you have lighter color eyes, sun's more damaging to your eyes.
Okay. That actually concludes the list that I pulled up, which I'm really shocked that we made it through that whole list.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't expecting to make it through half of it based on our track record.
Mm-hmm.
So
rosary ring.
Rosary ring. That's a good one.
I'm a big fan of the rosary ring while driving. I think you still use the regular rosary.
I do.
Yeah.
My wife uses the ring.
I switched to the ring with my last car when I still had drove a 6-speed. And it's just like, if you're trying to shift and do other things, you know, it's like, it's hard enough to like move the beads.
What's in your glove box right now? No, I changed it back. What's in your console right now? What do you keep in your console?
Napkins.
Mm-hmm.
I know napkins in there. I have a little bitty sunglasses cloth.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else is in there. There's other stuff in there.
I have the catechism for our Tuesday morning meetings. I keep the catechism in my console.
Okay.
I have the Armor All leather wipes for my car.
Gum. I have gum.
I have change, and I have $10 bill in my console.
Where is
exactly,
it specifically?
Specifically, yeah. For the emergency fund.
That's good.
That's what I have in my car. In there. So
that's good.
When we get back, we're going to jump into the main topic. We're going to talk about how to sanctify your commute to and from work. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. So we've been drinking this evening, Innocent Gun, Vanishing Point. It's an imperial stout. It's been aged in whiskey barrels for 200 days. Just got done doing a litany of things that you should or should not have in your car.
Ooh, I like that. A litany of them.
Yes.
Well played, sir.
So We're going to talk about how to sanctify your commute. And I'm not really sure exactly how to start this out other than how I approach a lot of things in my life, which is I have game plans. We were talking actually in the first segment how I want to know.
You're a planner.
I'm a planner. And so before I go in and see customers, I have this game plan of here's how I want to execute this meeting.
Yeah.
Before I go to church, I have a ritual of like, I want to make sure this is what I get done before I go to Mass.
Yeah.
To prepare myself for Mass. So as guys, a lot of us have to drive, 30 minutes, an hour to work, 2 hours to work. Some people,
I mean, I think 30 minutes, that's
probably average.
I think I read once, this could be wrong, but I recall reading the average commute is 24 minutes.
Okay.
For the average person in the country. You know, like there's a lot of people in Dallas and people in California. I feel like they have the worst commutes in the world.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of people who commute.
I have 20 miles and it takes me about 3.5 hours.
In fact, I was just talking to Papa this last weekend.
Who?
Papa. 60th wedding anniversary, Papa.
Oh, okay.
He has two firefighters on his street. So we were talking about firefighters in California because California is on fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that a lot of them live in like Nevada or Utah, neighboring states, and they commute in.
Wow.
Because, they'll go and probably be there for a week or 2 weeks or whatever and come back. But it's just so much cheaper to live outside California because they're just ridiculous out there.
Yeah.
You know what they need to do? I think it would fix all the problems if they would just raise taxes in California. I think everything would be better.
Well, their track record has shown.
More taxes. Yeah. That is the.
As we've grown. Okay, so we have a game. We need to have a game plan.
Okay.
For our commute.
Yeah.
I used to listen to sports talk radio all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I still get kind of sucked into it sometimes because we don't have cable anymore. I don't really watch a lot of sporting events any longer, but I like to hear about it, and I like to listen to how sports newscasters talk, like how they showcase the information, their presentation.
Okay.
And so
is that just the excuse you use to let yourself listen to it?
I do, but I take notes.
Sure. Okay.
On that. So
that could be legit.
But I realized as I got to work or as I was coming home that I would get, my blood was pumping. I was getting kind of jacked up listening to the sports talk radio because I was like, no, this guy is wrong because of this, this, and this. Or, this was a poor argument. Or, no, the Cowboys should not have traded for this dude. Or, I would get kind of wrapped up in this.
Right.
So I realized this probably isn't the best thing for me personally. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing for everybody. I'm just saying for me personally, it wasn't a good thing because I was coming home all jacked up. Or I was going to work kind of in a bad mood or frustrated or excited or something like that.
Right.
So I started realizing, okay, I need to cut that out and what am I going to do during this? I have about a 20-minute drive to and from work.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do in these 20 minutes instead of listening to sports radio? And I realized at that time that this is a really good opportunity to grow in my spiritual life.
Yeah.
This was probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago that I kind of made this realization, like I should use this time to grow. So I started doing it where on my way to work I'd pray the rosary because I could get a rosary in from my house to work. So I start the day off with a rosary. Pretty good. I mean, driving in your car, you can't meditate as well as what you'd like to. Obviously,
I agree.
It's not ideal situation to be praying the rosary in the car, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing that. On my way home, especially recently, I've changed tactics.
Tell me.
Because I used to listen to podcasts, I used to listen to Catholic radio, I used to listen to books on tape, audiobooks, that's what they're called now. Books on tape is like old school, right?
What's tape?
Yeah.
Like the sticky stuff?
But recently, what I've been doing is game planning what I'm going to do whenever I get home.
Okay.
And a hint for all the ladies out there that are listening, Which there are people, there are women who listen to the Catholic radio.
It's just funny to hear you say it that way.
For the ladies out there, let me give you a little heads up. I think that it's a good idea at some point in the day to let your husband know how the family's doing, what the state of the household is before he gets home.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like, not any kind of like rants or, you know, getting a long text message of everything that's happening, but like, here's the state of your household before you get there.
Yeah.
So you can be prepared.
Not just the bad stuff.
Right. Right. Or not just bad things, but you know, this is the mood that we're all in. This is, you know, this is what has happened today. This is things that you need to be taken care of when you get home. It helps guys as they're getting home, you know, before they get home. Okay, I have these kind of things that I need to deal with, or this is the mood of the home that, you know, that I'm walking into. That plays a big deal.
Totally. Should I bring the paddle in from the car?
Right. Am I being a disciplinary as soon as I walked in?
Get it. Yeah.
But what I've been doing recently, and this is kind of a bummer because my wife listens to our show, so she's going to know this. I do this now, which I don't really like, but I'm doing it for the good of you guys in hopes that you do this as well.
Ruining one of your secrets.
One of my secrets. Don't tell.
Haley, earmuffs.
Earmuffs. I make a point of figuring out something that I'm going to do for my wife before I get home. Like, when I get home, but I make that decision before I get there. Mm-hmm. So on my drive home, I focus on, like, tonight I'm going to make sure that I let her sit down on the couch after dinner and I'm going to do all the dishes. Or tonight I'm going to make sure that whenever I walk home, I take the kids out. We're going to go on a walk or something and let her decompress.
Mm-hmm.
Or tonight I'm going to make sure that I get all the kids pajamas on, teeth brushed, hair combed, you know, in bed, prayers done, you know, without having her do everything.
Yeah.
Just something that I make a point of, I'm going to do something specific for Haley.
I think that's a great idea because it allows you to be intentional about those good things, about fulfilling that role of service when you get home. You know, it's not just, oh, I'm going to go home and I'm going to be just my regular
good
husband, yeah, good dad self. But like, I'm going to do this very specific intentional thing, because if you do it with purpose,
mm-hmm.
I think that's when you really start to, an action becomes more meritorious. Just like on our virtue episode when we talked about, you know, if you do a virtue specifically out of charity,
mm-hmm.
that's when it becomes a meritorious act.
Right.
Whereas if you're just doing it to be a nice you know, just doing it kind of as a reflex, it's a good thing to do. It's good, but it's not salvific in the same way as if you're doing it out of love for God specifically. So I think it's the same thing when you come home to love your wife. If you're doing it specifically to love her,
right?
I think there's extra grace there.
So one of the things that I also thought of that has become a summer habit now, a summer tradition that we've been doing, mm-hmm. on my drive home, I said, you know, what's something that Haley and I can not sit on the couch, be on our phones, watching another Office episode or something like that. Like, how can we grow together?
Yeah.
And so I decided after the kids get down to bed, we'll go out to the backyard and we'll both open up a book. The cell phones stay inside and we go outside. We open a book. We read together. We pray together. We write in our journals. We do things together, even if we're not specifically talking, but it's this silence, this opportunity to kind of decompress together in a holy leisure way.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a chance to also smoke a cigar while I'm outside, which is a win.
I thought you were going to say, she smokes a cigar while you drink some white wine or something.
Yeah. but that's been a really great tradition for us that we started this year.
Okay, so...
That we've grown quite a bit in.
So how has that changed your commute?
Well, that was something that I started thinking about.
Okay.
That was one of the things, that was one of the examples that I thought, here's what I need to do for Haley and and my family.
So one thing that Eric Grayless does,
mm-hmm. a good friend of ours
here in Tulsa, he commutes in silence. No radio, no podcast, just quiet as your commute can be.
I used to do that, you know, because I travel, you know, fairly often for my job. And I have to drive. But I realize it's been an hour and a half and I haven't thought of a single thing.
That's okay. I think that's okay.
Like the point, I literally
the
would
point
have...
is to settle your mind, because your mind should not be constantly running. It should have. It should be able to rest.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be thinking about everything all the time. Blah blah blah. You know, when you come home, you should just be there at home.
Right.
And I tried it, couldn't do it.
Oh really?
Could not do it.
Oh, I can do it easily.
I made it for about 5 minutes. And just said, I came up with some excuse. She probably, I do need to listen to that. I literally could not do it.
Oh, I have no problems doing it. I just find it. I don't find it useful. I don't find it productive.
I think that it's probably more productive than.
Maybe than what I'm than what I give it credit for.
Yeah,
maybe so. When we get back, we're going to keep going on this discussion. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to The Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about sanctifying your commute. We're drinking an Innocent Gun Imperial Stout. It's been aged in bourbon barrels for 200 days, two-thirds of a year almost. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not the best I've ever had, but it's right. Very, very good. If you are given it, if you receive it as a gift, you will enjoy it. I wouldn't buy it, though.
So we're talking about...
Innocent Gun, change my mind.
Yeah. Send us stuff. So we're talking about sanctifying the commute to and from work. One of the things that... And I can't remember who... I know a priest told me this.
Okay.
And it is a game changer for me. As a sales guy, there's a lot of things that happen where... As you're driving home, you're like, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I should have done this, or I needed to call this person, I need to follow up. You know, your mind continues running. It's probably the same with you with stocks and things that you have going on where you're like, oh, I should have done this.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
You have things that you're just constantly playing in your mind about the day. I realized that once I got home, I wasn't necessarily mentally home. I was still thinking about all the things that would happen throughout the day. And a priest told me to... pull up to your house and sit there for 2 to 5 minutes and get everything that you were thinking about and run it through your head and then say, okay, I'm done. I've acknowledged these thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then go inside.
That's a good idea.
I don't do that every day, but the days that are super stressful, when I come home, I realized I'm not being the best dad or the best husband that I can be. I'm super stressed out about things that I can't have any control over at this point in time.
Yeah.
So it gave me this opportunity to kind of, I guess, decompress or I don't know how you want to say it, but
the Catholic faith, it just like, there's so many truths in the faith that play themselves out in different ways. The fact that we are not a soul inside of a body. We're not a mind separate from a soul that are like glued together. We are body soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there are so many physical, you know, sitting there for 2 minutes is a physical thing that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, all right, it's putting a barrier almost. You're taking a physical action that has psychological repercussions, you know, and it just kind of tricks your brain and tricks your mind into letting those things rest there in the car, you know, and you can pick mm-hmm. them up the next day. It's just, I'm always fascinated by the physical and the psychological, you know,
and
the body
intertwined
and the soul.
And
just how they're linked together.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that before?
No, because this is not something I struggle with.
Right.
You know, so you're the worrier. I tend to not worry about anything. So I come home and I'm home.
Right.
I don't worry about work.
Right.
I mean, very rarely. Occasionally, if I like remember, oh, I forgot to do something,
mm-hmm.
I'll feel bad about it for a second and try to send myself an email to remind myself.
At times you can go to that extreme where you worry to a fault or you don't worry to a fault?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. And I don't know whether I do this or not, but I think it certainly could be, you know, worrying about everything is a self-defense mechanism possibly. And then not worrying about it, you know, and I know that
I was ignoring it.
I tend to do this. If something gets overwhelming, I just kind of throw my hands up and be like, you know, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go do something else.
Right.
Even though I might need to finish this that I'm doing, you know, like, so definitely it's not that there's a middle ground here. Mm-hmm. It's somewhere between us.
Right. Yeah.
And I think, you know, we tend to work it out that
way. Well, I think that we both have done better about getting into that middle. You're concerned about achieving things in a timely manner better than what you were.
My email works now. That's been a game changer.
That's a good thing. Dave, one of the main things that helped us in our conversion, you know, process from becoming like heathens that we were to loving our Catholic faith is Catholic radio.
I mean,
we run a Catholic radio station. Mm-hmm. There's numerous examples of people who've stumbled upon Catholic radio and it changed their lives. Jim mm-hmm. Spencer, a good friend of ours who goes to our church, is a great example of a guy who, you know, was Catholic, but wasn't hungry, on fire for his faith. Started listening to Catholic radio and he can't turn it off.
Yeah,
he loves.
Cheers to Jim.
Yeah, he's our unofficial bodyguard as well.
Yeah.
Of the Catholic Man Show, which is very nice to have. Anyway, he's a great example of this. Like, and you know, we are as well, as far as once you start listening to Catholic radio, it gives you the opportunity to learn more about your faith.
Yeah.
And the Catholic radio is so unique in the fact of that it gives you these 5-minute, 10-minute segments of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great for the pockets of learning. Or pockets that you drive, you know, it's like, I only have 5 minutes. But you can turn on Catholic radio and listen for 5 minutes and actually get something out of it.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned this, because you can listen to Catholic radio. If you have 5 minutes, turn it on and you will learn something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to necessarily have caught the beginning of the show.
Right.
But I think that it's important, just like everything when you're growing in virtue, to first take an assessment of where you are. Okay, so if you're the guy who listens to nothing but sports radio, you know, and that is, you look forward to it and this is something that you really enjoy doing, but you kind of know it would be better if I did something else. Don't expect that you're just going to be able to 100% cold turkey, you know,
jump off the bandwagon.
Like, all right, I'm not going to listen to any of that in the morning or on the way there and to work or on the way back from work. I'm going to pray the rosary. I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. You know, start off small.
Mm-hmm.
And
Lent is a great opportunity to do that as well.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But I also pray the rosary in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And someday I hope to get to the point where I can not do that. I would rather come home and pray a rosary or spend time in the evening praying a rosary with Pamela.
Yeah.
That's hard for me right now. I could do it. I could do it.
Right.
If I would really, you know, just decide.
I'm watching
to do
here.
It,
I'm
I could do.
I'm watching you, like,
you know.
Mind
I'm not
going to
give
myself.
My, you know, I can't. I cannot on the radio in front of God and everybody actually say I couldn't do it. I hope though to get to where I have the strength,
right,
to do it on the reg,
right?
Because I do not pray the best rosary in the car. However, it's better than not praying one. Which I know would be the case many days.
If you did.
If I don't make sure to pray it in the car, then I wouldn't pray one necessarily. So anyway, I pray the rosary in the morning. I listen to podcasts, listen to Catholic radio.
Well, something that goes with that is, like, what can you do? The best thing that you could do at that moment. You know, there's goods and then there's greater goods that you can be doing. So,
yeah.
You know, sports radio may be a good thing. You know, it's a leisure.
Mm-hmm.
But is it the greatest good that you can be doing at that time? You know, it's a similar fact of, like, at lunchtime I could go to adoration or I could go to mass. Both are good things.
Sure.
But there is a greater good here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mass is the greater good.
Yeah, unless of course you've already been.
Unless I've already been.
Yeah.
So that's. I also used to listen to audiobooks, you know, books on tape, audiobooks a lot as well. But that's a tough thing if you're going in and out of your car a lot. you know, it's like, I can't listen to three sentences, get out of the car, get back in. What did I just listen to?
Yeah.
I can, I know, I at least for me, mean. I can only listen to audiobooks if I'm taking long trips where it's like an uninterrupted at least 30 minutes where I can get a understand, okay, this is where I was.
Yeah, maybe on the ride home, mm-hmm. you know, where you've got the whole commute home.
Right.
20 minutes probably.
I mean, in listening to music, that's another thing. It's like, that's not a bad thing.
I almost never do that anymore.
I don't ever listen to music. Not that it's a bad thing. Like, it's a good
Actually,
thing.
You know what I did just this week? I created a Gregorian chant playlist on Amazon Music.
Yeah.
And just have it on in the background. Like, it actually was very productive for me. It creates just like
a
peaceful atmosphere. Where I was actually finding myself more motivated and preventing, it was crowding out other noises as well with good sounds. Not, you know, there's no percussion, there's no beat,
right.
there's nothing like that. So that it doesn't, you know, promote any of those basal, anyway, I know it's not about your commute, but that's something I just did and I'm going to keep trying it because even 6 months ago, I would have said, yeah, Gregorian chant. I like it. I like it. I like the idea, but I don't like to just sit there and listen to it. But I think going to Clear Creek several times mm-hmm. and seeing the monks there chant mm-hmm. has totally changed my perception.
Idea of it.
Yeah.
What's interesting, Dave, for me, like listening to you, is a lot of times you've come up with some really interesting theological, philosophical questions while driving.
Uh-huh.
You come back and be like, hey, I was thinking about this on my way home. And then you lay out this premise. I'm like, dude, I wish I could think about that on my way home. I'm thinking about, like, what color is beige on my way home or
That's
something.
That's a good question.
I don't know what color beige is.
There's tan? Like, isn't it just tan?
I mean, there's like 85 gazillion shades of beige.
I think we legally need to restrict the number of colors.
The government isn't good at a lot of things. It could be good at this.
It could be a big... big improvement for all the men in the world. It's like we've got Roy G. Biv, and then there's light and dark Roy G. Biv. Yeah. Okay, that's it.
But that has been fruitful for you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I do think of a lot of weird things. And I think about a lot of strange stuff sometimes, often for just short bursts.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's gone.
Like the wind.
Yes, it's gone like the wind.
We've been drinking Innocent Gun, Vanishing Point. We talked about things that you should have in your car. Hopefully, I don't know if you guys got anything out of how to...
If you want to sanctify your commute, add Jesus. However it is you want to add Jesus to your commute, man. Even, like, start off, put a picture of Jesus in your car.
Ooh, that's a good one. Crucifix. Yeah. A Catholic Man Show bumper sticker.
Yeah, all that stuff. You don't have to change
the
game on day one.
Scrape off the coexist bumper sticker.
Definitely get rid of that.
Yeah. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.